Test. Can you hear me all right? Testing, okay. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, for the sunshine, for the cool air, and as the seasons move along and progress, Lord, and we're just upon Thanksgiving, and so we do give you thanks, Lord, for your goodness and kindness and mercy to us. Thank you that we live in this nation, Lord, and for the abundance that we have been blessed with is all we can do is bow at your feet in thanksgiving for how you've had such favor upon us. I ask now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be able to communicate your truth today. I pray in this message, I pray for your guidance and for your direction and to guide my words and for all the ears that hear it, Lord, may they receive it in accordance with your will, I ask in Yeshua's name. Amen. A billboard of all things. Ever have those times in your life where you wish you're seeking God's direction and you just wish he'd drop a billboard down in front of you and tell you what to do? Anybody ever have that kind of a moment? All right, three of you have had that kind of a moment. So you can relate to what I'm saying. Well, that happened to me this week. In seeking confirmation for this message, the Lord gave it to me on a church billboard. On my way to work in Herndon, Virginia every day, I pass the Pender United Methodist Church, which has a rather tacky billboard attached to a trailer parked on their property adjacent to Route 50. And on the billboard is always some catchy or sometimes corny quote. Well, this week I read something that really grabbed me. And I had been thinking about this message for some time, but was unsure. But when I saw this, I knew that the Lord was confirming it to me. And this is what the billboard said. We can complain, rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice, thorn bushes have roses. This is a much more poetic way of stating, is the glass half empty or half full? The title of my message today is The Thorn Bush Has Roses. Our attitude in serving in anything we do is important and paramount. Though in one of his parables, Yeshua praises a person with a bad attitude who fulfills his function in comparison to another who says he will do it but doesn't, it is still not the ideal, I believe. The Lord expects obedience, but I believe he also wants us to serve him with the best attitude possible. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We just give out of duty, or do we give it out of love and cheerfulness? Having a proper attitude is important in the way we view life, the way we view the world, the way we view our families, our jobs, and our communities. And it's also important how we view our congregation. How do you view our congregation? Do you think we have a poor congregation? An average one? A good one? Is it a congregation you are proud of, or are you kind of secretly embarrassed? These underlying attitudes are important and I think often subtly affect us in ways that we don't even realize. Last week, Doug spoke about the importance of a local congregation, the body of believers. And he told us about 10 characteristics of a new covenant congregation with a lot of good thoughts. He reminded us that the local congregation is one body made up of different parts. And that just like the human body has different parts, so the body of Messiah, this congregation here, has different parts, a hand, a foot, a head, a toe. As this is all explained in 1 Corinthians 12. And he also reminded us that the body has many members, as Romans 12 tells us as well. But how do we feel about the body of Messiah we are part of here at Ohev? We live in an image-conscious world. We're always seeking to look better, lose more weight, work out more, change our hair color or style, or get new clothes or something that'll make me look thinner, you know. And on it goes. And often we don't have a good self-image. We are told by others or by unfair comparisons to the onslaught of media images that we are immersed in that we don't measure up to whatever the variety of ways there are in the world has. What defines beauty? What defines success? We're constantly comparing ourselves and being beaten down often as we don't measure up. But it's still our own body. It's still us. And so what is our self-image of Ohev? I have two scriptures from Colossians that are going to be my texts for the day. The first is from Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the second from Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Work for the Lord. Whatever you do, do in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. My purpose, my theme today is to challenge us to reassess our attitudes about our congregation in order to reignite our zeal for serving Yeshua in Ohev Israel. So I'd like to explore this theme by looking at the following. First, stop to smell the roses. Let's look at some accomplishments we've had. Secondly, never promised you a rose garden. So we'll look at some challenges that we face. And thirdly, the thorn bush has roses. What is our attitude going to be? Today is a completely different type of message for me. I normally have tons of scriptures or like to focus on a particular passage. But this is going to be more of my own opinion, and so I submit my thoughts to all of you and to the other elders as well. As a leader, I sometimes find that I need to encourage myself. I want to be able to point to reasons for going on, for reasons to continue serving, for taking time away from my family, to be part of building a vision that many of us believe in. It's good to review some accomplishments from time to time and even acknowledge things that haven't been fully realized yet. So some may disagree with my choices here, and your viewpoint of the congregation may be different. But it is my hope today that you can see the process I've used to motivate myself and to continue working and serving to meet the challenges ahead. So let's look first at the need to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes we need to stop and take a step back and look at the accomplishments and things that we've done. So I'm going to talk about seven different accomplishments that I see. And you may have a whole bunch of others or may disagree with me, but I'm the one speaking here, so you'll have to listen to me. So the first accomplishment, I believe, is that we have strong core beliefs in this congregation. We have sound doctrine. We preach the gospel here, that the kingdom of God is available. It is at hand, that Yeshua shed his blood on the tree for our sins, for the remission of our sins, that he was buried and rose on the third day and was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit and sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. We believe that he gave us the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to empower us, to teach us, to guide us, and to comfort us. We are a community of Jewish believers in Messiah, along with Gentiles who are called and led to identify with Messianic Jewish believers. We advocate Jewish believers continuing to identify as Jews and live as much of a Jewish cultural and community life as they desire. Our passion here is to see more Jewish people come to know Yeshua. That's the central core, I believe, that drives me, drives all of the elders, I believe. Secondly, accomplishment is our services, our service, main service. We have, in my opinion, an expertly forged out main service that beautifully combines traditional Jewish forms and contemporary forms of worship as well. Our service has been a model to other Messianic congregations. We are asked to lead the worship periodically at the Tikkun conferences, and each year we're always asked afterward to be given a copy of the outline. You do all this? Scott was telling me last year that somebody came up to him, you all really do this? And you do it all in a certain amount of time. They're impressed by the way we've been able to merge it together. It's taken time and been hard work to try to merge these things together. But I think we have done a really good job about it. So we have a good service that others envy and want to emulate. And that is a great accomplishment. Thirdly, we have an openness to the Holy Spirit here, demonstrated here today in the service we had. We are a charismatic congregation. We are open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our services allow time for that, and our leadership is sensitive to it and will respond accordingly. We have exuberant worship featuring Israeli-based folk dance during our services, which is worship to God, and you heard that today so beautifully used. Today, to me, it was really worshipful dance. And he saw the vision that those who were dancing were being spoken to by the Lord. They're not up here performing. They're not here to entertain you, to watch. They're worshiping the Lord in this, as Mike reminded us earlier. And I urge more of you to learn these things and participate. But they had visions of Yeshua standing in the middle looking at them all. And those things happen. We are touched miraculously while we're playing the music as well. So we are open to the Holy Spirit. We desire it more and more. Fourthly, is the accomplishment we have is that we have a focus on Israel and Jewish life. We observe and practice all the Jewish feast days and other holidays as well. Hanukkah is coming up here, and we're going to be having a celebration in a few weeks. We have a Purim carnival each year, and we have congregational seders. We encourage people to have Shabbat dinners in their home and invite one another to each other's homes. We observe and practice Jewish life cycle events like Bar and Bat Mitzvah and all kinds of other things as well. Once a month, we have an Arab Shabbat service here on Friday evening, and every morning there's a prayer service in the back room here, each Shabbat morning as well. We offer Hebrew language classes to children and to adults as well. We teach Bar and Bat Mitzvah training as well. We have a Torah study each Shabbat day, which those who are able to stay and can discuss the day's portion. We have former members of this congregation living in Israel right now. Jonathan Moore and Simcha Moore and Don Jones and others who preceded them that many of you don't even know who they are anymore. How many remember Hillary Gould? That was her original name. I can't. Hedva now, right? So, Chaim Washer was Chaim Warshawski. There was a great influence and blessing to me, raising me up as a worship leader. I still have the Sullenberger's phone number memorized, your home number. Because when Chaim was helping me come into it, I would pick the music, and then I'd have to call him every week and tell him what the list was. So I had the Sullenbergers, he was living at the Sullenbergers' home at the time, so I had their phone number still memorized, 301-424-5618. Right? Of course, nobody ever answers the phone there. It's always some automatic machine. The trick is to just keep talking and talking and talking, and eventually somebody will pick it up and you say who you are, you know. Of course, I give my selections of a list to Chaim every week, and I don't think he ever said, oh, no, let's change that. He always accepted it. But anyway, he's living in Israel now. He's an incredible man serving in Jerusalem. And I think he's with the city government, isn't he, I believe? And so we've had an impact. People from this congregation who you don't even know have gone to Israel. We have two young men from their congregation serving in the Israeli army now, Jonathan Stearman, who just went through that whole event down there in the Gaza Strip. And I got the privilege of going to Doug's house one night to hear him talking about his experience. I'll never forget. I'm sure Doug can't believe it, but his son was standing there and standing up on a mound behind a place where they were hiding, and he just was standing there, and all of a sudden he heard these strange noises. And all of a sudden there was bullets right between his legs, landing with his feet on either side of him. He didn't even know what it was. And was able to go back. It's that close. Josh Harris over there now as well, serving the Lord and serving in the army. All from this congregation that we help train and educate and love and raise and be a part of their lives. We send portions of our congregational tithe to Israeli messianic works, a portion of our tithe here. We tithe as a congregation on our income. We send 10% and more, and part of that tithe goes to Tents of Mercy Ministry in Israel with Eitan Shishkov and to Asher and Traders in Ministry as well, and we support Tikkun as well, who is serving mightily in the land. And we've also sponsored trips to Israel as a congregation as well. So we are a congregation that loves Israel, Ohev Yisrael, and loves Jewish people. Fifth is that we have fine ministries here in this congregation. We have one of the finest Shabbat schools in the Messianic movement, with one of the finest curriculums anywhere. And how many of us even know it? If you don't have any children in there, you don't know it. But the level of people that are working on Cindy Stearman and Shirley Johnson could publish books and should publish their teaching materials. They are so excellent. We have one of the finest Shabbat schools in the country. And I'm sorry to brag, but I'm going to. We have one of the finest worship teams in the Messianic movement as well. We've been asked to lead worship repeatedly at the Tikkun conference and at UMJC conferences as well. I'm sorry to say, and I'm not sounding bragging, but do you realize how blessed you are? You have people here writing songs, creative blessings from the Lord that we might take for granted. There are congregations I know of that play tapes for their worship. We have excellent musicians here, and it varies from week to week, you know, depending on who's here. You know, if I'm not here, it's terrible, I know, but just teasing here. It's better than, you know. But sometimes we need to step back and realize and be thankful. We have one of the finest Torah services, I believe, that I have seen. The excellence which with it is done. The men and women who are blessed with great Hebrew knowledge and knowledge of the Siddur have blessed us, and we have forged out a tight Torah service that is a glory to God, I believe. I love it. I love it when we lift the Torah up and say, here's the Word of God. See it. I love it when we take the Word of God around and remember that it was taken from Israel and came back. And it came back joyously, David rejoicing before the Lord. All pictures of these beautiful events that inspire us and bless us. We have 7 Havarot that meet periodically in homes in the region. We offer afternoon classes for adults through Beit Midrash. We have offer a fine Oneg Shabbat every week. We have a jail ministry. We have a wonderful sisterhood and men's ministry as well formulating. We have a bookstore and a Judaica shop. We have a great intercessory prayer ministry. And many others that I have not mentioned, but just look on our website and you can see the giant list of items there. I'm sorry if I didn't mention the particular one you may be involved with, but we are blessed. We have lots of ministries in this congregation that are good. The 6th accomplishment I believe we have is great congregational life. We have a loving community here that takes care of one another. You just ask to take up an offering for a family. We respond well to crises situations, I believe. Many remember the tragedy of the Dean family of years ago. Horrible. But the congregation responded to the tragedies that were just been experienced, of the losses of our fellow brothers and sisters here are unimaginable. We try to support as best we can. I don't know how people in the world do it that don't have a loving congregational family to depend on in times of need. My wife and I have experienced it as well. With her issue with cancer, many blessed us with meals and provided for us. Sherry, the same way I know. Many others here have had serious medical issues they've faced and have received support from the congregation. It's amazing how the criticisms of the congregation melt away when you see the love of this congregation poured out to you when a crisis hits you. Amazing how much those other things didn't bother you anymore. We have a loving family here. We do our best to take care of one another. The final accomplishment that I just want to mention briefly is we have a great leadership and government and influence. We have a wonderful congregational leader, a Jewish man from an Orthodox family background, a PhD, a lawyer. He's the assistant shiliach, assistant apostle for the Tikkun American team, serves on a judiciary board of the UMJC. He's helped minister to many Tikkun congregations who have had all kinds of problems and difficulties that most of us here aren't even aware of. Spent hours and hours and hours of time ministering and helping other elderships and other congregations that have had crises that they're facing within the Tikkun network. Michael has been a great blessing and help to all of those. He's a certified and trained in biblical counseling. He's responsible for holding this congregation together and initiating that list of ministries that I just read off to you. As his reference, we started the jail ministry that we're reaching people like that for the Yeshua. Mike's serving as a volunteer chaplain in the U.S. Coast Guard. ministering to servicemen and women and being a representative of Messianic Judaism there. He gives us, occasionally he'll tell us stories of how he was able to be a witness. People never even heard of what Messianic Judaism is. And he's sacrificing his time continually for us. Scott serves as the regional director of the UMJC region here in this area and regularly attends UMJC leadership meetings. And he previously was on the executive board of the UMJC, was the treasurer for 2 years, and so we're greatly blessed. Sherry has been coordinating UMJC and Tikkun conferences for years and is well known across the country and around the world for her efforts. All part of this congregation. We have an incredibly fine leadership team, fine elders. Well, except for one, but me. Fine deacons and wives. Mike has told us numerous times and wanted me to say this specifically, that we have an outstanding eldership team here in comparison to what he has seen across the wide spectrum of the Messianic movement, that we are extremely blessed. I'll give you the $25 later. Okay. So. Eric and Willetta Lee serve repeatedly up at the MJA conference and are a blessing to those up there and are known amongst them. So we are touching other lives across the movement that many of us here may not even be aware of. We have a constitution that is a model that others borrow and use. We have accountability in our leadership, in our treasury, and in our finances. We are one of the leading Messianic Jewish congregations, believe it or not. We are one of the largest Messianic Jewish congregations, believe it or not. The average Messianic congregation is about 40 or 50 people. We are one of the more stable, long-standing, blessed congregations that has been stable and brought influence and blessing to others. And we should be proud of that. So in the words of the great Jewish prophet Adam Sandler, not too shabby. Not too shabby. We need to stop and smell the roses before we get all wrapped up on our own issue and see how blessed we've been. So we've looked at the need to stop and smell the roses, but as Lynn Anderson, I think it was, or Loretta Lynn, sang, I never promised you a rose garden. Not everything is always hunky-dory. So we have challenges that we face. So I want to list 7 challenges that I've identified here for you. The first is outreach. How many new Jewish believers have we experienced in this congregation in the last year? We had Jeff Bernstein here the week before last, I believe, and encouraging us and helping us to think more in these ways of how can we reach Jewish people for the Lord. And so this is a problem. This is an area that is a challenge to us, and we need to keep working on and find solutions and keep beating the doors of heaven, asking God to show us how we can do it, what we can do. And it's not just unique to us. It's an issue across the whole Messianic movement. How do we reach Jewish people for the Lord? A second challenge is that we really need the next generation of leadership to come up within our own congregation. We need to raise up more young people and young adults into leadership. Did you know that all of our elders and deacons are all over the age of 50? And probably at least half are over the age of 60. I was figuring it out. If you don't think you're young enough to serve, or you're too young to serve, or too inexperienced, I was 39 years old when I became an elder in this congregation. Didn't have to wait till I was 50 or 60. God needs people to fulfill these roles in the prime of their lives. And so we need you. Those in your 20s and your 30s, young married couples here with children, We need you to rise up and we need to help you. I don't know how to motivate you and inspire you, but we need the next generation to come and replace us. The next challenge we face is the composition of the congregation. We need more Jewish people. We need more, our certain age groups are not represented well. You know, we need 20s and 30s and need more people who can identify with people of their own age. It's very helpful. So the composition of the congregation is something we want to improve on. Another challenge is the area of communication and technology. We need to keep growing in that area. We do not have a brochure about our congregation or other documents that communicate about who we are. We've kind of tried to start here and there, but we're just overwhelmed. Everybody here is doing 20 other jobs. So maybe somebody could help us. We have a good website page, but invested a lot of money in it, but it could be better as well and be improved. We could take more advantage of technology on the internet. And all this stuff is only going to develop more and more and more in the next generation. You guys are involved in this. You've lived it. It's not like it's second nature to you. To us old timers, it's something that's hard. We have to learn. And it's a challenge. The fifth area of challenge to me is one of educational growth. We need to continue to grow in our own understanding of Jewish culture and life and history. We need a greater connection with the local Christian community here and become known by them, so that the churches here know that the Messianic congregation exists here, and if they have questions or a Jewish person comes there, they might suggest them to come to us if we're hiding back here behind the sand pile and nobody knows where we exist. We need greater unity in the Messianic Jewish community at large, the MJAA and UMJC and Jews for Jesus and all the whole kit and caboodle. Maybe in our lives we won't see it, but maybe the next generation you will forge that to happen and be greater and more beneficial to the body and to the Yeshua himself. The sixth area is we have humanity in our leadership. Well, as great as we are, as I just said, we're still fallible. We're still human beings. And we make mistakes. We don't always react as fast as we could, or sometimes we may not come to the right conclusion. We are human. We do our best to minister biblically in dealing with difficult interpersonal situations and disputes between congregants. And we do our best and we try. But we're still human. And we don't always have the answer. And as exemplified today, we don't always have the most dynamic speakers in our congregation. But we do the best we can with the gifts that God has given us with. And we try our hardest. And we can all do better. We do the best we know how, and we give all that we have. Finally, another remaining challenge I have here is service expectation. What is the expectation about our main service? Some have said in the past that our services are too long and not family friendly, and it is a challenge for a 2.5-hour service, hard on children and families. But you need to understand that Messianic Jewish services are different than a church service. There's much more being accomplished and addressed than your typical Christian service. So if you want the hour service, go in, punch the clock. Then this might not be the place. But I want to tell you about a congregation, another Messianic congregation I'm aware of, that my daughter goes to in Taos, Texas, Baruch Hashem congregation. Over 600 members. An incredibly beautiful building that you would not believe if you saw. They broadcast their services on the internet. They're live streamed. You can watch them. Their service is over 3 hours long. Doesn't seem to have hurt them. 600 or more people. Gosh, I'd be bored out of my mind if I was there. You got to be kidding me. I'd have to get up and get 20 cups of coffee. I'd have to go to the bathroom three times between that time to survive that. Three hours and longer. Every Shabbat. Still 600 dummies coming there every week, you know. What's wrong with these people? We got it down to 2 hours and 15 minutes, basically, or, well, almost. So, we need to check our expectations. And if we invite people, we need to let them know what it's all about. I'm tired of us being embarrassed of ourselves. I think it's a trick of the enemy to keep us down. You can go there and do your thing, but you're not really good enough to minister to any of these other people out here. Don't bring them in here. Oh, goodness, they're going to hear a boring message. The service goes on and on and on. Blah, 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 on and on it goes. The lies fed into your mind, and so we never invite anybody, never even think of inviting anybody. And we shortchange God, the opportunity to change somebody's life. We start playing God in people's lives and denying them the opportunity. Because our attitude might be off. Never promised you a rose garden. There's going to be challenges and difficulties and things to overcome. I heard a message sermon earlier this week on the radio. Imagine what it was like in the first century on the day after Shavuot. 3,000 new believers. Where was the Shabbat school? Where was the Oneg? Where was the building? Where was the worship team? Where was the... How were all these people going to be ministered to? Somehow they survived. Somehow. I don't know. So, we looked at the challenges. We looked at some accomplishments. And so I'd like to share with you my list here. Accomplishments on the left, challenges on the right. Again, this is just my list, and we just talked about it. You may agree, you may disagree. So does one side of this ledger outweigh the other? Does one bad sermon or a long service outweigh all of those accomplishments? Do we just keep focusing on our challenges and can't see or choose to ignore what we are doing well? Or conversely, are we so focused on our accomplishments that we stick our heads in the sand regarding the challenges that we face? The question today is, what is our attitude about our own congregation? Do we have a consistently good attitude about who we are and what we are doing? Or are we flapping in the wind on a weekly basis, depending on what the latest issue or perceived problem may be? I've experienced that. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being a yo-yo up and down. Oh, it was great this week. Oh, it was terrible next week. It was great this week. It was terrible that week. It was wonderful. This happened. Did you know she said this to who? Oh, no. The day is ruined. It was a terrible day. Maybe I'm sharing out of an elder's life here that I'm sure all of you young people are dying to take on here. But you can do it. When I think of these things, I look at the life of Joseph, who's my favorite character in the Tanakh. And that's why I wear this. It's like Joseph's coat of many colors. Talk about somebody who had the right to have a bad attitude. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. He gets sent into Egypt, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into prison for a couple years. anybody had the right to be depressed, to feel like a loser, a down and outer, nothing's ever going to go right in my life, it was him. But I love the fact that in every situation he found himself, he turned it into a blessing and tried to bless others. I'm telling you, if that was me thrown into the prison after all that, I'd have been sitting back in a corner, depressed out of my mind. Probably like a babbling idiot with drool running down my face. No, he's there blessing the other men, teaching them, learning, and a blessing to them and helping them. That should be our attitude, the way we should serve the Lord. But what happens to us? Why do we get down so often? I think it's because we can lose perspective. We can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we're so close to something or have been there so long, the perspective shifts from really the Lord onto everything else that's going on around us. You become so familiar with it that you lose perspective. And you subconsciously focusing on the shortcomings all the time, and we become overwhelmed. Like Peter, walking on the water, took his eyes off of Yeshua, started looking at the turmoil around him, and began to sink. And that's what can happen to us. If we get so off on all the problems and issues and challenges and shortcomings, and take our eyes off of Yeshua, we may go down. We lose focus. Too, I think, the scripture that Yeshua talks about and the prophet is not welcome in his own city. In Mark 6:4-5, Yeshua said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except by the lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." I think this dynamic can occur when we become so familiar with one another that we subtly lose faith in God because we look to one another so much. When you have a problem, do you go and spend time in your closet with the Lord, or do you call somebody first? The subtlety of it can change the shift of our attention. I need X, Y, and Z to help me through the situation. And that may be, but you need to go to the Lord first. He's our helper. And any of us who are helping others should be directing people to the Lord. I'm going to blow up here or something here. Okay, see, where am I here? Okay. So we've got to guard against that, losing our focus. And that's why it's important. And I urge you, this is my tip of the day to you. Try as hard as you can to get out and see some other stuff. Try to go to the Tikkun conference. There's an MJA conference up the road here in a two-hour drive up there in here. Or an UMJC conference that might come to our area. Try to get out and see the larger messianic world. And see that we're not just tunnel visioned and this is all it is. So how do we contradict this from happening? It's our text verses. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua. I serve all my services for in his name. "And whatever you do, work it out with all your heart." All your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Keep our focus on Yeshua, that we're serving him, and that we're all co-laborers. Sorry I'm going so long here. I want to make one final appeal to our next generation. The congregation and leadership is aging and graying and losing all their hair. We need you to take up the baton. Young people here in their 20s and young adults in their 30s and young families here with children. We need you. As you can see, there are many challenges that lie ahead. And God may use you to find those solutions and let you have the victory in overcoming them, in taking Oheb to the next level. We're hanging on here, keeping it to what it is, where we're at. But there's a next level he wants to take us to, and you may be the ones that do it. But my only comment to you is that it takes two to tango. It's hard to transfer authority and responsibility if no one is there. When you turn to hand the baton, what happened? I slept in that day. I stayed up late. Had something else to do. Not sure I really belong here. Got on my own personal issues. Where are you? There's got to be a level of responsibility and commitment displayed. If you're here once or twice a month, how can we depend on you? Become the new worship leader. I slept in that day. I didn't feel like coming. What? No service? There's nobody? But you can do it. I never thought I could do what I'm doing now. Never. Never dreamed I would be doing what I'm doing now. The best I thought I could be was an usher in a congregation in the church I was at, taking up the offering. There's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's all I thought I could ever do. We need the next generation of congregational leaders, the next generation of elders and deacons and Sabbath school directors and Havara leaders and worship team leaders and members, Torah service leaders and Shabbat school teachers and sound men and women, projection overseers, prayer leaders, and on. We need you. We need you. If you want to help but don't know what to do, then speak to us. We'll try to help as best we can. And so what do we think of ourselves? Are we a lost cause? Or are we eternally puttering along and barely making it? Or are we strong and vital congregation where the gospel of Messiah is preached and lived out? Are we embarrassed of ourselves or proud? My brother is always telling me about his church. How proud he is of it. What a great pastor. Great music. And on and on. Are we a rose with annoying thorns? Or are we a thorn bush that, despite our weaknesses, still produces beautiful flowers? My purpose today, this morning, has been to challenge us to reassess our attitudes about our congregation in order to reignite our zeal for serving Yeshua in Ohev Israel. We looked at stop to smell the roses, never promised you a rose garden, and the thorn bush has roses. My text has been, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You may agree or disagree with my brief summation of some of the congregation's accomplishments and some of our challenges. You may have a completely different list, but I challenge you today to take time to smell the roses, to sit down and think through the good along with the bad. The common beliefs we share are too compelling to let us be set adrift by bad attitudes, apathy, and indifference. Yeshua didn't die on the cross for that. That is our calling. Trumps all the other garbage. More important. More important than how bad your feelings have been hurt. More important than who said something bad about you. More important. It's not about you. We are a reflection to go out to the world. In my opinion, we have a wonderful congregation that is of has a fine foundation. We have a God-given core mission given by Yeshua himself that beckons us to respond, to keep getting up when we're knocked down and keep fighting on. Let's rejoice in that and work together to face and overcome our challenges to make Ohev Israel a more effective and fruit-bearing tool for God to use in building his kingdom in Northern Virginia. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that these words would be challenging and not condemning. I pray that no one will feel condemned in any way, but that we will all sit down with you in the quietness of our own hearts, search our hearts before you. May we continue to serve you here where you have called us, that we might serve you greater and in greater ways. I ask you to bless everyone here. I thank you for everyone here and for their commitment to this congregation, to making it a light that shines on a hill. And I pray you'll encourage everyone here and let them know they are loved and that you are proud of them. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.